All right, I'm going to, several weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago, we were talking about being led by the Spirit of God and how that the Lord leads us through our spirit. Hey, the Lord leads us through our spirit, not through our minds, not through our bodies, but through our spirit. Okay, just want to kind of whet your appetite, kind of get you back in line with where we were a couple of weeks ago. We talked about the inward witness, that scripture I just read, the Spirit him. Well, I haven't read it yet. Let's read it. Or did we read it? I don't think we did. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself or himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so we talked a couple of weeks ago about how the inward witness is the main way the Lord leads his children. Now, we're not supposed to be led by prophets. Sorry, folks. Just want to let you know. It's not scriptural. Very rarely by angels, although that has happened, and we know of accounts in the Bible. Not very often by visions, though occasionally the Lord may give a vision. He gave visions to Paul, you know, in leading him. But not very often by visions, and definitely not by fleeces. Anybody know what fleeces are? You put out a fleece, you're going to get fleeced. But by the witness of the Spirit, that's how God leads us. And how many believe it's important to be led by the Spirit of God? Let me just see a show of hands on that. Okay, this is important stuff. It's not just some sideline message, you know, that's not really that important. This is important stuff to understand. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. And we talked about how the Lord is going to give us light, or he's going to guide us through our spirit. In Proverbs 20:27, we read that one. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord. Or the flashlight, if you want to put it that way. Or you might say he enlightens us or guides us through our spirit. It's kind of what that scripture is saying, among other things. And so we looked at the ideas, where is our spirit? Is it up here in our head? You know? The thing is, if we're ever going to be led by the Spirit of God, we're going to have to learn how to get in touch with our own human spirit. Because that's where the Lord's going to lead us from. He bears witness with our spirit. And it's actually in our center. That's what the Bible calls it the belly, the inward parts of the belly. That word belly most of the time is translated as womb. Did you know that men have a womb? Uh-oh, we're getting into some strange stuff now. I'll be politically correct here in a minute if I'm not careful. Praise God. I don't actually mean it literally, but the innermost part of a person is the belly or the womb, which is translated as the center of a person. It's not in our head. That is our mind or our soul area. Because the Bible distinguishes between soul and spirit, so our spirit could not be our mind. So we could kind of oversimplify it, and I did this last time by saying that it's the meditative, reflective, contemplative, and intuitive part of us. The meditative, reflective, contemplative, and intuitive. Sound like Jesse Duplantis. Of course, it's more than that. The spirit is much more. The spirit is the thing that gives us life. The Bible says the body without the spirit is dead. So the spirit is what gives our body life. It's more than just what I just said there, but that's the way we connect with our spirit. And that's why prayer connects us with the Lord. That's why when we have a daily time with the Lord, we call it our quiet time. What do? We quiet our mind and we focus on the things of the Lord. You remember Peter was praying one time on a housetop before he went down to Cornelius' house. You remember the story. It says that he fell into a trance. Now, the concordance defines trance as a throwing of the mind out of its normal state. Alienation of mind. And then a little further down it says, and although one is awake, his mind is wholly fixed on things divine. That's the concordance definition of trance. A throwing of the mind out of its normal state. A trance is a condition that you're not in your normal state of mind. And I'm saying this merely to point out that if we're going to get in touch with our spirit and hear the Holy Spirit speak to us, we will probably need to learn how to quiet our mind. Just throwing a few things out there. Let it kind of assimilate in your mind a little bit. And then speaking of quieting the mind, we talked about something I once came across called the 20-idea method of problem solving. You know, where we write a problem at the top of a legal pad or the goal we're trying to achieve. And then we write down 20 ideas on how to solve that problem or how to accomplish it. Now, what relevance could this possibly have with being led by the Holy Spirit? I'm sure you're asking that question. Or getting in touch with our human spirit. Well, I brought it up just simply because it's one way of putting ourselves in a reflective, pondering, meditative, contemplative mode. We calm our minds down and we begin to draw things out of ourselves. Well, I think we could probably do this. Wait a minute, let me think for a second. Oh, yeah, here's another thought. I could do this, write it down. You see, you're pondering, you're meditating, you're drawing from where? Inside yourself, actually. There's a scripture I came across that kind of bears witness with this in Proverbs 20, verse 5. This, by the way, is the same chapter that's got the thing about the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It's in the same proverb, Proverbs 20, and it says this in verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. It says that counsel or wise advice is in the heart of a man, in his or her spirit. It's in there, but it's like deep water, smooth on the surface. Deep water is smooth on the surface, but underneath are many hidden things. And it goes on to say that a man of understanding, a man who knows how to, will draw it out. Will draw what out? Wisdom and counsel. Wisdom and counsel and advice. Good advice to live by. He'll draw it out of himself. Where is he drawing it from? From within himself, from his own heart, from his spirit. How? By entering into a reflective, pondering, meditative, contemplative mode. Hope I'm not saying that too fast. Reflective, he's reflecting. Contemplative, meditative, pondering. They all mean kind of the same thing. You see, every experience we've ever had is in that deep place. Everything we've ever learned. And Jesus made this statement in John, I think it was chapter 14 or 16, one or the other. He said, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he shall teach you all things, and he will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have spoken to you. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance all things that I have spoken to you. Now, when we meditate in the Word, it gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity to teach us the things of Jesus. When we're meditating and pondering and reflecting on the Word of God, it gives the Holy Spirit a chance to show us things. Ah, I never saw that before. Wow, I never saw that before. Because we're receiving from the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that he will bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. Has Jesus ever said anything to you? I think he said a whole lot to a lot of us over the years, if you've been around this thing. Every time you hear a message and you get something, say, wow, that was Jesus speaking to you. Praise God, because he is the living Word, the revealed Word. So we meditate in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit teaches us the things of Jesus, and he says, he will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Everything Jesus ever said to us is in that deep place of our spirit. We may not have it in our conscious mind right now, but it's in there somewhere. When does the Holy Spirit bring them to our remembrance? When does the Holy Spirit bring them to our remembrance? When we're in that reflective, pondering, meditative, contemplative mode. When we're communing and fellowshipping with him. When we're praying. When our attention is focused on him. When we are less conscious of external things. Which is really kind of rare in this world, because we're always conscious of external things. What's going on today? What's happening out in the world? Let's check it out on YouTube or wherever. And we do that, and we want to feed on that. Well, once in a while, we have to get quiet. Why get into that meditative, contemplative state? Because that's when we're focused on our spirit man. Now, that was just a little review. Go back and listen to the message if you get the chance. There are three things, and I think I mentioned at that time, there are three things that will help us to develop a strong connection with our spirit. Who wants to develop a strong connection with your spirit? You better have raised your hand, praise God. Just say it. There are three things that develop that strong connection. One of them is feeding on the Word of God, and that's what we talked about last time, feeding on the Word of God. The Bible says we're born of the Word of God, the incorruptible seed. That's how we're born again. We heard the Word, we believed it, and we were changed into a new creature. And it says we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. So then we grow by the Word, by the sincere milk of the Word. Like I said, when I first started reading the Bible, I couldn't understand any of it. It was like Greek or something. Well, it was translated from the Greek, wasn't it? But yeah. So we learn, we begin to grow a little bit. We get a little something. We build it a little here, a little there. It begins to build in our understanding. We begin to get some knowledge of God, some knowledge of the Word. And eventually, if we keep at it, we get to the place that we can eat the strong meat of the Word. Feeding on the Word. Now, the other two important things that help us develop a strong connection with our spirit man are praying with other tongues and walking in love. Those are the two things that we're going to look at today. So then, praise God, we're going to talk a little bit about praying with other tongues. Now, we're not going to give a comprehensive, exhaustive message on that. But people ought to desire that. It's the gift that God has given us. Through the day of Pentecost, you know, it's a gift. Peter said, the gift is to you and your children and all who are afar off, all who are called of the Lord our God. Everyone who's called of the Lord and a disciple of the Lord ought to have the gift of tongues. Now, if you don't have that, we can make arrangements to help you get that. Just the way we got it, by desiring it and looking for it and studying it and praying into it and then believing God and then stepping out and shakara masika. You know, just stepped out in it. That's how it happened. But anyway, it took me about a year. But anyway, I'm off the subject here or going off on a rabbit trail. So let's get back on. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the Word of God is able to divide between soul and spirit, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Able to divide between soul and spirit. Is it important for us to distinguish between soul and spirit? It's important for us to know the difference. Because a lot of times we interchange it. Well, I just felt it deep down in my soul, brother. No, you felt it in your spirit. Your soul is up here. And your soul is being saved, says the Word of God is able to save your soul. I thought my soul already was saved. No, it's not. When you're born again, your spirit is saved. Your soul needs to be renewed. Your mind needs to be renewed. That's a process. The Bible distinguishes between soul and spirit. Now, we've been talking about our spirit man, the real man on the inside of us, the hidden man of the heart. But what about the soul? Now, the general understanding of the soul is that it consists of the mind, will, and emotions. Anybody have heard that? And I wish it was really that clear cut, but it's not. Praise God. Because our spirit man has feelings or emotions. Somebody said, I just had a bad feeling about doing that. Something told me not to do that. I just didn't feel good about it. Oh, you mean you had an emotion? No, that was a check of the spirit. That was something you were feeling in your spirit man. But I just had a feeling. And the Holy Spirit, you ever heard the thing about grieve not the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit can be grieved, then he must have emotions. So I guess I'm just making a point here. We try to put everything in its category. Emotions don't necessarily just happen in our emotions. They happen in our spirit also. But be that as it may, We do understand that our intellect, our thinking faculties operate in our soul. It's our consciousness, our thinking process that we live in most of the time. We spend most of our life in the intellectual realm and the physical realm, our soul and our body. We are highly developed mentally. Well, some folks are. I may not be, but praise God. And physically, we can also be highly developed. So I hear, praise God, if you work at it. So we can develop ourselves mentally. We can develop ourselves physically. But what about our spirit man? Charismatic Pentecostal people ought to know how to get in touch with him, our spirit man, because that's what we do when we pray in other tongues. Okay, well, let's just consult an expert about it on the subject, the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 14:14. And by the way, Paul is the one who said, I speak with tongues more than ye all. That's old English for y'all. I speak in tongues more than y'all. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians 14:14, he says this, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. My spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. That would be referring to the mind, the understanding, the comprehension, the soul. Notice he didn't say, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my mind prays. Or my soul prays. No, he said, my spirit prays. When we pray with tongues, we're praying out of our spirit, not our mind. The Amplified Bible says it this way, my spirit by the Holy Spirit prayeth. My spirit by the Holy Spirit prayeth. So where do those tongues come from? All right, I'm opening it up. Where are they now? Well, Holy Spirit, good. That's good. Praise God. You hit it on the head. Hit the nail on the head. Do they come from our head? No. Now they got to come into our head or we couldn't speak them. I mean, they got to pass through there somehow before we could say words. It's sort of like we're thinking them up, except I can't think things up that fast. I might be able to do it a few syllables mentally, very slowly, if I did it really, really slow. But I couldn't make any sentences that way. He, ka, ma. You know, I might think up some things, but that's not the same thing. It comes from the Spirit. They come from our spirit by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that they spake with other tongues, or they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit gives the utterance, the syllables, and we speak them out. Are we in touch with the Holy Spirit when we're praying in other tongues? How else could He give us the utterance? Hallelujah. So we speak them out, but we don't understand what we're saying. That's one thing, a roadblock I had to get over to receive the gift of tongues. I had to find out that I won't understand what I'm saying. Well, I thought you'd get an interpretation. You know exactly what you're saying. Does anybody know exactly what you're saying when you're speaking in tongues? Once in a while, maybe in a great while. Then we don't understand what we're saying. Well, what good is it? It's actually very good because it's a benefit to us that we don't understand. Remember about, I talked about being in a state that's different from your natural normal mind, your normal state of mind. This is a different state. The fact that we don't understand what we're saying causes our mind to disengage from the discourse. Something our mind does not particularly enjoy doing. We want to keep that mind going all the time, mental things going on. The mind does not, well, it doesn't like to get quiet. We focus on our spirit, who is getting words from the Holy Spirit, and our mind basically is disengaged except for hearing and speaking. The mind is not involved in the conversation. It doesn't know what's being said. Now, as we're praying in tongues, the mind sometimes gets bored. Have you ever gotten bored praying in tongues? Boy, I tell you, I wonder what if there's a game on today. You know, praise God. Wow, I really need to get out and do that. No, wait a minute. Just calm down. Our mind sometimes gets bored and tries to pull us into mental activity. But if we just keep praying in tongues, I'm talking to people who have prayed in tongues that have never experienced what I'm talking about right now. It settles down. The mind will settle down. You know, and it's kind of like fasting. If you ever spend any time fasting, say you're going to fast a day or you're going to fast three meals or something, your body will go absolutely berserk. I'm hungry. I'm going to starve. You know, but if you say, no, wait a minute, I told you this morning we're going to wait to 4 o'clock to eat today. Now just be quiet. Hush. You say that to your body enough times, it'll stop talking. It'll stop chattering. It'll stop throwing a fit on you. Next thing you know, it's almost 4 o'clock and you're not even hungry. Because you've put that craving down. It's your spirit dominating your body, really. It's the same thing when we dominate our mind. No mind. I'm going to do that later. Now be quiet. I remember the first time I experienced this back in October of 1983. What was that, 170 years ago or something? Right along in there. 1983, October. It was a beautiful fall day. You know, just beautiful. A Saturday. And of course, I was working around the house because you do everything on Saturday you can't do during the week because you're working, right? So now Saturday you can't rest because you got to do all this household around the house work, cleaning up, raking leaves, whatever. And anyway, so I worked and I got up and I was going at it. But around mid-afternoon, I about worked myself into a frazzle. I don't know if you ever do that or not, but you just keep on going, I got to do this, 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 and then suddenly you just, wow. See, I was tired, and I just decided to stop working for a while, go down to the side of the hill below where I lived at, and just, just sit down on a stump down there. They had cleared the land down there, so it was just totally a mess, you know, but there were lots of stumps down there. And so I sit down on one of those stumps, and I just relaxed, began to pray in tongues. Oh, man, Lord, shikamaha, you know, began to pray in tongues, began to just rest. You know, I was tired. And, I had received the gift of tongues back in 1980. That was 3 years earlier. And I'd prayed in tongues, but mostly in the meetings. You know, when we pray for somebody, we start praying for somebody, and a few people will pray in tongues while it's going on. And I would do that, you know, and like other people did. And, but I had never really sat down and spent much time just doing it, just praying in tongues for an extended period of time. And so I was just sitting there. I didn't feel energetic. I was tired. I prayed calmly and softly, sort of breathing a sigh of relaxation between sentences. Oh, well, maybe not quite that dramatic, but you know what I'm saying. The sky was a deep blue color that day. It was just rich, deep blue, like on fall days. The poplars were growing up, had the yellow leaves against the blue sky. Can you picture that? And then the streaks were jets going across, you know, it was up in the Philpott area. Always jets flying up there. So these white streaks across the sky and the yellow leaves and the blue sky. It was just beautiful. Very peaceful. So I prayed in tongues about 15 minutes on that stump, just sitting there resting. And I began to feel something spiritual taking place. I felt the presence of the Lord. You know, the same feeling I got in church when we were worshiping God. I kept on praying. And it got richer and richer and deeper and stronger. I discovered the reason that God had given us the gift of tongues. I remembered a verse in Isaiah that Paul referred to when he was talking about tongues. He said, it was in Isaiah, and it said, with stammering lips and another tongue shall he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Well, I was certainly weary that day. I was tired. I was certainly being refreshed as I spoke with tongues. And I connected the dots. I was being spiritually refreshed by praying with other tongues. What a revelation. I was getting something from it. I wasn't just making a noise. So I learned a wonderful lesson that day. The gift of tongues was not given to me so I could look spiritual in the meetings. Man, look at him. Boy, he can really speak in tongues. So what? It was given to me so that I could get in touch with my spirit man and find the refreshing of the Lord. How many of you know we need to be refreshed every now and then? Well, after that day, I almost immediately began to move toward leadership in the church. I was just on a different level of spiritual comprehension. The Lord caused me to move very quickly into a position as worship leader here at, it was Martinsville Christian Fellowship at that time. I was eventually set in as a deacon. We had a bunch of deacons set in during that time. Later, I became an elder and a teacher and eventually an associate pastor as the years went by. But at this time, it was that point in my life that suddenly I had a connection with leadership in the church. I didn't before. I mean, you know, Pastor Dave always said, well, he's got a teaching gift. His brother Ronnie has got a teaching gift. But I didn't start teaching about 20 years later. So, you know, that doesn't mean it's going to happen next week. Anyway, I'm getting on a rabbit trail here.